tortured artists, from Picasso and Monroe to Warhol and Winehouse, The Twisted Secrets of the World's Most Creative Minds by Christopher Zahra, illustrations by Robbie Lee. It is sometimes said that all great art comes from pain. Van Gogh painted Starry Night while in emotional torment. Lennon and McCartney forged their creative partnership following the death of their respective mothers. Milton penned Paradise Lost after losing his wife, his daughter, and his eyesight. Such unremitting grief would send even the most grounded among us into a frenzied Xanax binge and associated fetal position, but these celebrated artists chose not to recoil in passive suffering. Instead, they turned their sorrow into something the world would cherish. Well, so opens Tortured Artists, from Picasso and Monroe to Warhol and Winehouse, The Twisted Secrets of the World's Most Creative Minds by Christopher Zahra. That tortured artists create great art is a saying older than most of us can remember. The concept that there is something about the condition of tortured penury artists that produces great art, and perhaps both life conditions are necessary for great art to be produced. In any case, the long-lasting history of what some label a sad stereotype, and others clutch to their bosoms as a critical explanation for why great art is a page-turning way of explaining why artists don't always find fame and fortune in their lifetimes. That is the theme of today's book. And let's face it, saying that is easy for those of us who are not artists of great renown, easy for us to toss around in mock sympathy. Indeed, the author addresses that point early in his introduction. As he writes, this book examines the maladies that drive creative types to the brink of despair and the inspired works that are born from their anguish. It will reveal, through the parallels hidden within the life stories of artists from all backgrounds and eras, the common thread that drives artistic expression of every conceivable art, whether it's the magnum opus of a Renaissance master, a three-chord riff from a 70s punk band, or a keenly strewn allegory by the beloved children's author Dr. Seuss. In the end, I'm convinced, it all starts with the same thing, a shot of intractable unpleasantness bubbling to the surface from deep within a tortured soul. So, having set the stage as a good author ought to do, and having set out his widely accepted thesis, our author plunges into a series of short biographical essays featuring artists are given, excuse me, Our author plunges into a series of short biographical essays featuring artists who are given brief 4, maybe 5-page exposés featuring the chosen artist's painful childhood or adolescence or adulthood, with chapter topics that include the first 12 years, teenage wasteland, perpetual virginity, my way, and rage against the machine. As he writes, he often does turn out surprising aspects of these lives for those of us not steeped in the life stories of Alfred Hitchcock, of silent film star Clara Bow, or of comic strip artist Charles Schulz. Yes, Peanuts is included here. The chapter groupings I've just noted are not arbitrary convenient divisions, they may seem at first glance. Instead, giving author Christopher Zahra a way to easily explain why he is limiting the lives of this or that artist. That said, as I read, Tortured Artists came to resemble, as much as anything, an extended, well-crafted collection of fan magazine writing. There are anecdotes galore on each of these pages. That little red-haired girl about whom Charlie Brown fantasizes in the famous Peanuts comic strip was created from Schulz's own first serious romantic crush. Walt Disney developed Mickey Mouse in the 1920s from his own real-life experience of professional betrayal. And Edgar Allan Poe, for all of his sordid personal life and dazzling storytelling abilities, is lauded by our author as the first reality star in American arts and letters, a popular icon of culture for the early republic, still accustomed to finding its period's star writers in the British Isles. Poe was truly an American phenomenon. Is it fair to criticize the author's choice of artists he brings into focus? Well, heck yes. And Zahra acknowledges the selection is arbitrary. He can't include everyone. The selection does skew heavily to modern media superstars, with the requisite nod to pre-20th century artists, to be sure. We do encounter the much-discussed Vincent van Gogh here, the aforementioned Edgar Allan Poe, Frankenstein's creator Mary Shelley, Mozart in Michelangelo. In a rather bizarre twist, we get to explore the folks who may have painted those beautiful, if haunting, cave paintings in southern Europe. But in true fanzine style, by far the most number of pages are given over to lots and lots of late 20th century, early 20th century artists whose personal grief bulk up these pages. From Madonna to Kurt Cobain, from J.K. Rowling to Titanic film director James Cameron, from musicians Johnny Cash, Ike and Tina Turner, the Ramones, Michael Jackson, to, yes, Sylvia Plath. This is a book that entices us with tales of dismay from the lives of artists who have produced the cultural touchstones of our lives. Artists whose work we have seen, read, listened to so many, many times. Warning, do not expect too much from the author's argument for the tortured artist theme. This is more armchair psychiatry than a deep dive into academic research. Yes, a few academic studies are noted when their research proves useful to the author's arguments and gives the book a tantalizing taste of reputable argument, I must say. But this fanzine-tinged collection is better read as a well-written freshman college term paper than it is a well-thought-out argument for the influence of anxiety in producing great art. And tortured artists boast, and I kid you not here, a bibliography and a timeline of artists to wrap up its presentation in its final pages. Two, and perhaps more to the point of discussions in the early 21st century today, I think it is fair that for both author and reader, it quickly becomes apparent that art is produced, if we are to reckon by the artists noted here, most often in the Western Hemisphere, and then almost exclusively on the North American and European continents. It's a restrictive point of view that is perhaps as much a restriction brought about by the book's intended audience as it is by the author's interests. So, did I leave this collection of brief essays portraying the misfortunes, the anguish, the dashed hopes and desires of almost 50 artists convinced that pain is necessary to create great art? Well, no. If the requisite for great art was human tragedy, then all of us would be creating great art. And let's not get into a discussion of how each of us is our own artist in our own way. The author kind of dips his toe into that in the introduction, quickly leaves, I think wisely. But despair not, gentle listener, for I did find this work and this book worth my reading time. I'm glad to suggest it to you as well, for in the end, I did leave the book with a new appreciation for how some of my greatest artistic and cultural icons responded to the grief they encountered in their lives, and how they rose above it, or perhaps used their grief in producing great art. Making the greatest works of Dorothy Parker, Alfred Hitchcock, Pablo Picasso, J.K. Rowling, Lucille Ball, and Desi Arnaz, inspirational to a mere mortal such as me, who also suffers pain and loss in my life. So I hope when you see this book featured on your local public library shelves, it's kind of hard to pass up given its title and its front cover. You give it more than a passing glance, you too may find Tortured Artists a collection worth dipping into. Well, let's conclude our review as our author does his book with the last lines from his essay exploring the tortured life story of the great French Impressionist painter Vincent van Gogh. It's hard to get away from Van Gogh when you're talking about great art produced by greatly conflicted people. Please, cue Don McLean's Starry, Starry Night music as I read. A random Dutch painter, as a tortured soul, has little practical application in the absence of his vibrant blots of color and exaggerated lines, the techniques that gave birth to Expressionism and continue to have a great influence over modern art to this day. Vincent van Gogh, our author writes, like all great tortured artists, took his pain and twisted it around until it became the very thing he wanted most out of life. He suffered, but his suffering had a purpose. Maybe ours does, too. A fitting conclusion, I think, for Tortured Artists, from Picasso and Monroe to Warhol and Winehouse, The Twisted Secrets of the World's Most Creative Minds by Christopher Czar. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries. And as I said, it's hard to pass up that cover. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the book.